Hello and welcome to another Blue Tune podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Tune podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it, Marco's. On this episode, Martin and myself are joined by Jamie Stevenson. Having joined the club in 2014, Jamie is the longest serving player currently at Peterhead, so there's plenty to talk about.
Okay, this week we've been joined by Mr. Consistency himself, Jamie Stevenson. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good, yourselves?
Not too bad. 6 years now at Peterhead, so do we start calling you Peterhead stalwart?
Nah, call me whatever you want. I've been called worse up there.
So how's life been for you in the last 3 months since you last played?
It's probably the same as most people. Just getting by, painting garden fences, building fences, cutting grass, homeschooling, missing the football, missing being around the boys, not really having any kind of structure. So I kind of same as most boys, try to keep fit, running on the bike, and it's been a long 3 months.
Has that been the biggest challenge for you, Jamie, the fact you haven't got a structure to your day or your weeks, as they just sort of merge into one?
I've got two kids, so you're kind of trying to do the homeschooling thing, and then you're just trying to keep yourself fit, and then obviously work's kind of not been happening because of the virus and stuff like that, but you know, as it is, it's the same for everybody, so I think we're all in the same boat, so I'll just go on with it, and then fingers crossed, the SPFL can come to some sort of resolution regarding Leagues 1 and League 2, and then, I don't know, maybe have a better lay of the land and then see what happens for next year.
Do you think, given your age that you're at now, is this a long layoff? Is this going to be a good thing for you or a bad thing, do you think?
I don't know. I've been going out doing 5Ks and 10Ks. I've been going out on the bike, and I feel all right, but it's the same. It's like when you start to do it so often, it becomes monotonous, and it's not the same as actually doing it with people around about you and kind of pushing each other on. Probably good for my hamstring, because I was just back for a hamstring and I kind of get a bit of rest in that sense, but in other ways I've missed it. So again, we'll see what happens, and boys still talk to each other on the WhatsApp and stuff like that, so it's good to still keep in touch.
I spoke to a few of them recently and they've all said that Stuart Hogg's been giving them plenty of stuff to work on, and see, he's been giving you stuff to keep yourself going as well.
Yeah, it's just generic through the group. So he has Hoggy. So the stuff he gives is quite good, he knows his stuff. And I suppose you can only try and keep yourself as fit as you can. I mean, it's not the same. I think, regardless of what happens next year, boys need to try and keep themselves some sort of level of fitness, because to go 3 months and not do anything to get straight back into a pre-season, you're just going to pick up like niggle after niggle. You've seen it in the Premiership when they started back, a lot of injuries, and don't get me wrong, they're playing a lot of games in a short space of time, but they've got the squads, and it's hard for these part-time boys to have got work and then going to play football, so it's just trying to keep yourself fit. And I say most boys probably hit the ground running, because they will only need 3 or 4 weeks once we go back and then straight back in it. If that happens, that is.
You'd almost need a pre-season before your pre-season then.
I mean, for the league to finish in March, well, not finished, but you know what I mean, a lockdown happened in March, and a lot of boys would have been ticking over 2 or 3 times a week doing 5 and 10Ks or whatever type of running that they do. And again, a lot of boys have got that professionalism in themselves just to go out and do it, because as soon as you kind of let yourself go, it's hard to get it back. Especially Peterhead, because we've got a lot of runners, and it's good with the young boys like Jack and Scott, and even like Si and stuff as well, he keeps himself fit, so it sets a good example for the rest of the boys.
Is it difficult to keep yourself ticking over during this last couple of weeks? Because if you're doing pre-season, you know when the season will start, but at the moment we're not sure whether it could be August, October, even into December. Is that difficult to try and keep yourself fit?
Well, at the start of lockdown, as far as we were aware, there was a possibility of the season continuing. So even though like a lot of we've been following, the club kind of stood by all the boys in that aspect, so you kind of had to keep yourself fit. Normally around about this time a year, we would be, I think this would be the weekend, we'd be playing against Fraserburgh. We'd be playing a double dunter up in the Highlands. I only thought about that yesterday, so again, I don't know where the lay of the land is, but for myself, after kind of April, it was getting harder to motivate yourself to go out and do the 5 and 10 Ks. But you just kind of get on through it. And one of the boys who used to play with, Scott McLaughlin, he's been putting a lot of stuff on social media. So you've been seeing people posting their 5 and 10K team and stuff like that. I know it's not a competition, but it just kind of motivates you just to go. For nights, you can't really be bothered just to get your trainees on and go and do like half an hour's work or 40 minutes work. So,
have you taken part in any of Stephen Boyd's fitness stuff?
No. I've just been keeping myself myself.
It's quite extreme, that stuff, isn't it?
Okay, that is what it is. I mean, at my age now, I'm happy enough just to get my earphones on, listen to a podcast, normally size podcasts, and just, I've got a good kind of running route where I stay, and I just kind of go out and pod away. The next thing I know, I've done a good time, I've burnt a few calories and stuff like that, so I'm more than happy to do that.
You mentioned the Premier League starting and things like that. Have you watched any of the games? Do you think playing behind closed doors is a good thing?
See, obviously I understand at that level, but when you get down to like our league, there's no reason for it. I mean, for what we get on a Saturday, you could easily social distance in our ground. So I don't think it would be an issue at our level. Maybe things like hospitality and stuff maybe an issue, but the Premier League, you can understand the bigger stadiums and the bigger fan bases. But the games just sound boring. Don't get me wrong, Sky, we're putting the kind of fans in the background, at least it's like, I don't know what, it just seems better when you hear the noise. Higher up, I understand, but I don't see how it can't work at all level.
And you as a player, I guess, would react better to having fans in the stadium?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've played in a proper empty stadium. It'd just be like a training game or a bounce game. But I don't see... It would probably be strange, but again, you don't know until I'm in that situation.
Do you think once you played football, you'd be necessarily aware that there was no fans, or do you think it would be quite a key part of the game if there wasn't fans there to try and motivate yourself? Sorry.
No, I think like, for instance, we're changing room. We've got a lot of senior players, myself, Derek Lyle, Greg Fleming, Si, Paddy Boyle. So we have got like more, so we would be kind of always trying to talk to people, try to keep each other motivated. Again, I don't really know until your situation, but you've played bounce games at training, played training matches where the kind of it's been really flat. So I don't know whether you're maybe right that as a factor that you just take for granted on a Saturday. But when you're stripped and the referee blows that whistle and you're playing for 3 points, just the same as everybody else, you want to win. And I suppose your winning mentality comes into effect and you just get your all for 90 and try and get 3 points.
As I said, you finished just your sixth season then. It's a season probably that you'll remember, maybe for the wrong reasons, but can I sum up the season for yourself personally and the team's performance?
Huh? For me?
Huh?
I thought you were going to tell me.
No, you sum up.
I was like, we started a couple of good results in the Betfred, Dundee, Inverness, and I thought, getting into that, it was a kind of good springboard for us getting into the season. We just never really hit the heights that we knew we were capable of. We had a wee turning point with Clyde away, but it just got to a point where we lost like sloppy goals in some games, when games we were in control of, and then we maybe had a wee chance here and there, and maybe just not took them. I think with the group of players we had, we kind of knew... We had kind of goals, but again, I don't really think we probably fulfilled them this year. And again, really, even Rory came as well, just bombshell at Christmas, went away. And Rory was, I mean, for all I've ever been at Peterhead, he's always been the focal point of the team. So it was strange, and then Dale's came in, done well. But I don't know, it's just, to stay in the league, I think it's a good kind of first season up, but with the squad we have and the players that we had, I would hopefully maybe done a wee bit better, but again, it was a good league this year, quite a tough league, so fingers crossed that things happen next year and then Pureheed can try and push up towards the playoffs, and then you never know what could happen. Just, and if it stays the way it's going to stay with Thistle and Falkirk in the league this year, it's going to be a tough league. So, we'll see what happens.
So would it be fair to say that maybe we underachieved slightly?
I wouldn't say we underachieved. I'm sitting on the fence a wee bit, but I think with the players that we had in those games, I mean, Clyde won a couple of games kind of end of February, so it just showed you, all you had to do was win two or three games. And we were more than capable of doing that. It was just wee breaks here and there, and just losing sloppy goals sometimes, and through mistakes. And at that level, normally you don't get as many mistakes punished. We just seemed to be going through a wee phase where everything was getting punished. And then playing against teams at the wrong time, they had a wee bit of form. But I thought, again, when we showed we could play, like, for instance, Clyde, I thought that would have been a turning point. And we did try and... We played a lot of good football and just never really got the rewards that I feel we deserve.
Can you put your finger on it? Can you put your finger on why things didn't work out?
No, it's just one of the things. It's like football. We created a lot of chances, never took them. And then, like, one long block pitch and no clean the lines and boys are through and you're just like, ah, it's schoolboy stuff. I mean, I hope my hands up high. I was my fault on a couple of occasions, maybe just sleeping at the back post and stuff like that, but it's disappointing. But to football finished eighth, and you could have said to stay in the league was successful, it gives the manager, I suppose, a springboard now to go and try and kick on next season. And I mean, for all I've been at Pureheed for 4 years in League One and two in League Two, won that League One's playoff final there, so it's been relatively good. So fingers crossed, Pureheed. It's been a great club, great board with the chairman, and then with Harry and Ian and stuff. It's been a really, really good club to play for. The most I've ever been at a club is probably 2 years, so it beats six at Pureheed. They're doing something right.
Colin and I have spoken previously earlier on the season. Montrose, they didn't win any of their first 7 or 8 games, and then they sort of took a massive springboard. Do you think if we could have just put a couple more results together, obviously, hypothetically, the league looks a lot better, but we're saying we're slightly disappointed with the season, but it just shows you two wins somewhere along the season, and it looks like completely different.
That was it. It just shows you. We were basically above Clyde, I think, going into February, and they picked up a couple of results, and then if you look at the league table, it looks a lot healthier than what it was at the start of February. But you're right, in this league, what it takes is a few wins, and you string them together. Anybody in that league can beat anybody. And then it's just when Falkirk and Rafe, they seem to find another gear going for the title, and the rest were kind of muchness sort of thing. So, I mean, even these 5 game, there wasn't anything in it, and we just lost a really sloppy goal. I think that was in January, February. That game kind of summed up a lot of your performances, where we played well, we had chances, never really took them, we got caught with a sloppy goal. But it is what it is.
I think Dumbarton away was one game as well in particular. I think we lost 1-0 that day, but I think we had 6, 7, 8 chances and they only had one, and that was the difference.
It was just then, you look back at the goal we lost and you're just like, you're kind of looking at each other and you're like, we all know it shouldn't happen as easy as that, and then it's not a blame game. When we win as a team and lose a team, and when stuff like that happens, the manager would get a few of the boys together and just not really criticise or anything, but just kind of say we need to be better and organise a bit better, and just if we can stop the sloppiness sometimes with some of the goals, it would at least give us a platform to build on and give us a chance to win games. And
is even is that more frustrating, the fact that it was like silly mistakes rather than being, for want of a better word, outclassed? You know, there wasn't many games that I could think of this season where we're up, played.
We've always been in games. We've got good football players, so we've always got a chance of scoring goals. It was just even like the Montrose game, like just off the top of my head, the throw-in's not a throw-in, then we should react better to what it is. The next thing we know, we're 1-0 down, then 2-0 down, and then you just think this is just, do you know what I mean? It's just stuff like that you can't kind of put your finger on. It's just sloppiness, and ultimately or conceding more than what we're scoring, it's going to be tough.
You're approaching, dare I say, 36. How are you feeling? Still willing to go for another season?
I would play for as long as I could. So as long as I was enjoying it, I was still enjoying it. And I suppose like anybody else, it's, you're a long time retired, so if it was a chance for me to keep playing, I would keep playing. Just keep myself fit. The only thing that would stop me is maybe a bad injury, or I think my legs were kind of going, but I still feel all right, still feel as if I've got a wee turn of pace and stuff like that, so we'll see what happens.
Does it help that you're playing under Jim? I think it's the third club you've played under Jim at.
He's still in Morton. And yeah, I probably played for Jim all in all. That's probably 8, 9 years I've played under Jim, 10 years. So I played kind of most of my career under Jim. So it must be something about me, likes. So I think the only position I've not played in goals, so I can't go back before. So I started up front, and he's put me back next to you, and now I've been playing it at the back. So I think that might be me.
Is there any reason for that, or is it just a case that he just put you anywhere?
No, I don't know. I suppose it's just I can kick with both feet. I've got a decent understanding of the game. He asked me, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe, down at Stranraer, when I was a right back. He asked me to find the right back. We won, I'd done reasonably well, but don't get me wrong, I was kind of shit myself into Turkey. I didn't really know where to be, but I adapted to it pretty quick. I think it was, and it, like, even last year, I was having some like big Michael next to me kind of talk me through it and stuff like that. But it's kind of basic. And that was just a frustrating thing with some of the goals we're losing. You think with the experienced boys we had, we would have learned, and some of the mistakes were just terrible. But I don't think I can go any further back. So if I get any back, I'll be sitting on the bench.
What
do
you want to say? You'll be starting next to us next season, if that's the case.
I know, playing
Bobro. That's it. Your first season, you got the 7 goals, you said you were playing more further up. Do you miss playing further forward, or are you quite happy just to kind of play in right back or right wing?
No, I would love to play further up the pitch, because that's where I played most of my career, trying to more kind of assist, floating about the strikers or out wide and trying to get balls into the box and stuff like that. So went to Cowden Beef, played in the Championship for a couple of years, so kind of went more on the dirty side, always up against it every week. So that was a wee bit, I suppose, character building in a sense. And I and Ferreira just Peterhead, is it Airdrie? No, Airdrie and Cowden Beef, and then Peterhead, we done really well that first year. I think we finished 6th or 7th. Rory never really hit the heights that season, so it was a reasonably good year, and then the next couple of years we made the playoffs, and then we just had that disastrous year 3 years ago, and with the squad you're looking at, it's one of the ones you kept saying, our teams were too good to go down, we're too good to go down, and the next thing you find yourself in a situation where you're in a relegation playoff, and then we just never really recovered, you know, we did. But
The playoff, you mentioned the promotion playoff was a heavy 6-2 defeat, aggregate defeat, and then the relegation one was a heavy 6-3 defeat. Mm-hmm. It's quite massive differences between the two seasons within the space of a year. What was the difference, do you think? And why was the playoff defeat so heavy?
Couldn't tell you. I mean, I know the L1, every time we played there that year, we beat them like quite comfortably. And then I think at the end of that season, I think the thing that killed us, for as good as the day was Petrofac, because we kind of focused more on that, and then we never really won a game. Once we'd reached the final, I don't think we got to the final, the season kind of petered out, and we never really hit any form. And then obviously the one that it was Forfa, again, we weren't doing too well, and it's always harder for the team, I feel, to stay in the league as opposed to come up, because your confidence is low, you're maybe not playing well, there's a reason why you're down there. And then we just lost a couple of goals and we just never really recovered. I bet the scoreline was, again, wasn't great. With Steny, I think we were, no, that's not Steny, that was Spoffer. And then the year later was Steny, and we were in the game, and then Big Kratz got sent off, and then we were we were up against it, we had a wee chance, but we just never got that goal. And then obviously last year we made amends and won the league.
It was the year before, in the back of your mind, as you were going for the championship, thinking if you didn't get this over the line, we're going to have to go through the playoff again?
Aye, it was, specifically with the players, especially with the players we had, because we felt as if we were chasing Edinburgh all year that year, and we knew how hard it would, what it was, and then even that year, we knew Clyde were thereabouts, and even Edinburgh were there, and we always had our foot in front, and I was just glad that we won it with the 4 points, so Clyde couldn't come back and say, so we won it outright, regardless of the 3 point deduction sort of thing. But it was good. Clyde were probably the best team we played that year, so fair play to them. They went through the playoffs. And again, I always think the team that finishes second or third, they've always got more of an advantage and going up via the playoffs. But again, it's not always like that. You've seen it with Steny. Steny finished with 20 odd points behind us in the league and got promoted. So stuff like that, is, I think, could be a wee bit of an injustice. But again, we should have beat them that day. But over two legs, but we never.
And winning it at Hampden as well, was that a career highlight for you?
Aye, well, it was a great day, so it was. For our families and all the boys, it was something special. Considering the level we play at, even getting to that final, normally you would get to that final, it would maybe be at McDermott Park or it would be at Levy's ground, but obviously because it was Rangers and you knew Rangers were going to sell at the stadium, I think. I've never seen so many blowing away in all my life, but it was a great day. We never really turned up the way we did, so, but again, you can look back and say we played in a national final in a national stadium, so it's great memories.
Playing at Hampden with a big crowd, do you get nervous playing in front of a big crowd like that, or was you quite relaxed and just taking your stride?
I don't know, I was a sub, so I was sitting watching it for 18 minutes. And Rangers
started just the build up to the hill, the build up to the hill.
It was good. It was really good, especially with the club. They took us to hotel that night before dinner, and all the boys were quite relaxed, and so it was a good atmosphere. Got up day of the game and police escort to the National Stadium and stuff like that. It was really good. Good memories. Just unfortunately, we never really gave a good account of ourselves. But to be fair, Rangers were on it that day, and then Tavernier scoring that volley just kind of set them on their way.
Let's take you back to the beginning then. Who did you play for at youth level?
Aberdeen. I was with Aberdeen. S-Wall with Aberdeen. So I was from, I think, the ages of 13 to about 17. Played in there. Actually, played with boys club when we trained a couple of nights a week at Strathclyde, because that was just before the pro youth came into effect. And the first year pro youth was under 16s. And that would have been with Hugh McCann at Aberdeen. Hugh McCann, sorry, I was just a long time ago. that's old. Hugh McCann at Aberdeen. And then when it came into the... I'd done a fifth year in school, and then we came into like leaving school, etc. They didn't think I was quite ready to take a step up. They'd concerned about my height and stuff like that. So that was me. I got released. And Hugh McCann, he went to Alloa. So I went to Alloa with Hugh. He phoned me and asked me if I'd go and play with Alloa under 18. So I'd done that. I was there for about a year and a half, and then that's when I got the trial in Spain. Over there, as you probably all know, I went there I had a 3 year deal. After 18 months, I was unbelievably homesick. Really struggled with the culture. Football was good, but away from the football, I was bored, I was homesick, on the phone every night, wanting to come home. Hindsight, realising opportunity had probably a wee regret. The only regret I've actually got in football is probably just packing my bags and jumping on a flight. And then when I came home that... Sorry?
Right, on you go.
No, only halfway with
you, son. Yeah, I was going to say, could you believe that having been released by Aberdeen a few years ago that you were now playing for a La Liga team?
No, it's like, even when I was at Aberdeen, I never really doubted my ability or... like vision to see a pass or like game awareness or anything like that. It was always just maybe getting pushed off the ball with a tweezing. Didn't get kind of ragdolled a wee bit, but even like Hugh says, you could see kind of past that. You always say you only have to look at old man sort of thing and see that I'll be there or thereabouts, which has ended up being about right. But again, it happens for a reason. There's probably better boys than me that have been at clubs and got let go and bounced back and made it to a decent level. So I wasn't kind of going against the grain. It just it happened. So I just got on with it and then still enjoyed the football. Hugh took me out and that was a bit an eye opener for even going to Aberdeen down to that level because I'd never really experienced it. But Aberdeen were prompting me, so they were. And then as soon as there was word to a trial, Terry Christie threw me into first team to bump my value up about £500, I think. So that was the year Inverness got promoted. I think that was in old Division 1, so it was putting up against Bobby Mann. So you can imagine a wee guy that was, do you know what I mean, three stone wet, never mind playing against big Bobby Mann.
You were at Mallorca. Who were the kind of players that you were playing with or training with every day?
Training with the first team a couple of times a week. That was Leo Franco, Pandiani, Eto, Riera, Abigaza. So it was. But when I signed for Mallorca, they were a Champions League team. So they were a good team. And it was just the standard was ridiculous. I just couldn't get up to speed. The game was kind of slower, but once you get into the final third, you just switched off. That was it. They just round you, passed you through, and it was a goal. It was a good education, so it was really, really good. And I saw some of the ability you've seen in passing. It was frightening. It was really good.
Must have been quite a surreal experience being released by Aberdeen and then going over to Spain and playing, you know, watching these guys and training every day.
Oh, it was as I said, it was just an eye-opener at first. I'm just thinking I'm way up my depth here. But going through being under-18s and training with the kind of B team, the reserves, once I played a kind of few games in the low leagues in Spain, you quickly got up to speed. There was quite a few good players. The standard was really good. It's basically the equivalent, like say, what that plan was, like the reserves playing the low leagues in Spain, Scotland. Like Rangers, Colts, and that, it's kind of that set up, but there's a lot more teams in the World Leagues for that to happen. But again, it was really, really good. I going out there learning a new language, new culture, but it's something I struggled with, especially the culture, and didn't help when all my family were over for summer holidays and stuff, and then summer's finished, they're away at home, just thinking I'm bored. Too much time to think, and my dad came over, and then I was just like, I'm going to just get a flight home. Didn't really care about it anymore, just... That was that. Went back. I came home and I managed to go in and train with Clyde for a wee bit. And then, but I was still under contract with Mallorca. And I think I phoned Sean McCann for some advice. He's like, I came in and trained with Alan, and trained with Alan. And then next thing, I went back to Alan. So I did. I think they brought me back for what Mallorca paid. That was Tom Henry. And I'm trying to remember what Tom Henry signed me again, went back. And then I'd played with Alan for about 2 years before Jim signed me for Morton. So it was a bit of, again, Tuesday night, wet, Alan, I'm thinking, what have I done? But, again, that's another story.
I guess it was, as you said, a good learning experience for you. Going back to Alloa, did you sort of sense that you'd grown up slightly, or did you think you still had grown up to do?
No, it's like, I obviously matured as a person living out in Spain myself for 18 months and having to learn to cook, do everything myself, washings, because my mum ran about after me, probably the same as all yous, or still does, I don't know. But do you know what it's like? It's just I just did a lot of growing up, and then I don't know. I think I was quite naive as to even the standard, because I always thought I'll come back to Scotland, go back to Iowa, and I'll go straight into the first team, play every week, and use that to get a move. And it was couldn't have been further from the truth. Signed with Tom Henry, the old school manager, and it was just like you need to earn the right to play my team, sort of thing. And fair enough, and we experienced players, but. The team wasn't doing well, and I was sitting on a bench, and I'm just thinking I could be sitting somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? Just kind of get disheartened a wee bit with it. But that summer, he got rid of a few older boys, and I got my chance, and I played a few games. Team was struggling really bad. And then Alan Maitland came in, Alan Maitland got the best out of me. So he had an arm and a shoulder, set up the team a wee bit differently to help the boys. And I think we got to the playoff final. No, we got to the relegation playoff final and we beat Berwick and we managed to stay in the league. And from there, that's where I got my move to Morton. So Alan Maitland came in and getting a bit disillusioned with the game and he turned it in. So
it was Jim that signed you at Morton as well, was it?
Aye. We played against Morton a couple of times in the league that year. And even down to Capua, oh, I quite fancied when I knew Morton were interested, I quite fancied going down there. So I kind of had the choice between Morton and Thistle, but any time I played against Morton that year, I was quite impressed with the way they played. It was a young team and just they got from back to front so quick and I thought I could do well in that team. So I ended up at Capua with Jim. It's the first time I'd played under him.
Did you have any conversations with him beforehand? Did you know him?
No, it was with Chris Miller. He would, I don't know if Jim asked Chris Miller how he heard me here. So he gave us a wee phone call and just said, oh, Morton are interested, sort of thing. And the next thing I knew, I was down in Carpool, just sitting with my dad and having discussions with him, and I signed a pre-contract, and that was it.
It was a sort of okay kind of start. Then Jim obviously left. How did you kind of feel after he left? Did you feel that your place in the team was up?
No, we were kind of near the bottom in Division 1. I remember, we had just signed, I think it was Ryan McGuffey or Alan Jenkins, one of the two. So the team kind of started to pick back up, but I don't exactly know what happened. We Jim and Morton, the chairman, and Jim left and David Arons came in. And just probably, I think the less said about me and David Arons, the better, to be honest with you.
Okay, we'll swiftly move on. So after that, you headed off to Cowdenbeath, was it? Airdrie first?
No. Ended up, we that summer, I had a year left of my deal at Morton. Said I could go. He who shall not be named said I could go. And then all of a sudden, found the club. He pulled the rug from under my feet, and that was it. No, I want you back. 3 days into pre-season, I can go. So we ended up going on to Iowa, ankle injury. And then that's when Jim fought me in the winter and says to me, I seen get back playing and come to East Stirling and stuff. And at first, we had the impression that East Stirling, because everybody just remembers East Stirling from back in the day of kind of struggling to stay in the league and always finishing 9th or 10th. And then I was like, you know what? I trusted them enough and I just took a leap of faith and went and signed and I loved it. So that we finished that season, done really well. We finished in the playoffs. I think we got beaten the same as the final of Cowdenbeath. Done really well. And then that summer, Jim offered me a good deal at East Stirling and I enjoyed it so much the previous 6 months that I decided that I'm going to have a go. And that year they had like Simon Lynch, who ex-Celtic Airdrie, big Jamie Bartley, who was at the Milwaukee Falk, Brian Graham, so it was a good bunch of boys. Paul Weaver, who was at Air United, Eddie Forrest, who was at Motherwell, so it wasn't like people maybe think it was like a poor team. It was a really good team, and that was the year Livingston get demoted down the two leagues. So it was just unfortunate what happened to them, and it was kind of between us, Livy, kind of for the league. But it was another great year, so it was.
Those players that you mentioned, and that, were they being attracted to East Stirling because of Jim was there, do you think?
I think a lot of the clubs that Jim's been at, he's got a good reputation, and boys speak very highly of him, especially being for Peterhead, and no name names, boys like that, could you, any chance you can put a word in for me for next year sort of thing with a manager? So, and I'm sure every boy you speak to have got nothing good to say about the club. They look after you, so they do. Even in training, they put on transport, they put on food and stuff after training, stuff they don't need to do, but they do offer them back to help the boys as much as they can. If there's ever an issue with anything, the club, they're only a phone call away, and if they can help you out, they most certainly will. I mean, even like with Andy McCarthy in the last kind of lockdown, struggling a wee bit. Club have helped him out, and it's just, can't speak to them highly enough.
I think it was while you were at the East End, did you get a trial at Inverness before you headed to...
That was Airdrie. I played with Airdrie. That summer it was Big Boy Ryan Harden. I played with Morton. He was like, "Gat, come over to Malta." So of all places, ended up in Malta. And again, it was like, "This is a deal. You come out here." So I went out to Malta, thinking this is a life, thinking I'm son getting paid to play football. But that was like, I'm sure boys have been out in Malta and done well. But when I was out there, it was like, "This is what we can offer you." But then, before they put pen to paper, by the way, if we're sitting like below fifth in the league, you only get half your wages, and I'm like, well, it's not enough to live on. So that quickly just, I was like, this isn't an option for me to come home. And by that point, I was kind of strong. It was September, and I hadn't had a club. Most club budgets are gone. Jimmy Boyle phoned me again and just says, the Airdrie Supporters Trust have put money together. They gave me the money to sign you. So I ended up going back to Airdrie. I went to Inverness. Get my tongue tied here. So after that, I went to Malta, and then that is when Airdrie came about. So I ended up going to Airdrie. My first goal was actually against Peterhead, believe it or not, for Airdrie in my debut. And then it was the end of that season that an agent phoned me and says, there's a bounce game up in Inverness, do you want to go? And I thought, I've just nothing to lose, so I went up, played a bounce game, and then they says, do you want to come and try with us in pre-season? So I thought, last chance for full-time football, I think it was at 26 at the time. And then the end of the season up there, done really, really well. I fell down, played a few pre-season games, beat Yeovil, and Terry Butcher came in as well. That's the best Inverness passing team I've seen play, so I'm thinking I'm getting a deal back up the road, and he's just like, I've got a chance to get one Tudor Jones on loan, so there's nothing here for you. So that was me again. Getting towards the end of pre-season, the league starting with nothing. I ended up back at Airdrie again for that year. And that was the year we got to the player final. I think Dumbarton battered us. I think I must be the common denominator every time I get to a final, we get absolutely battered. So I would be Dumbarton beat us that year. And then that's when Colin Cameron phoned me, counting beef won the league. Colin Cameron phoned me. And then, was that the year Rangers get demoted? So they went off out of it. Because Dumbarton were up the league, Cowden Beef had won the league, Dumbarton won the playoffs, and then Airdrie ended up getting promoted as well. So, but I was probably going to get released anyway at the end of that year. Terrible.
You've been at, you said in there that you went out to Inverness to get a trial and it didn't work out, then you went back to Airdrie again. I guess you're kind of leaving clubs on good terms, and then, like so, Alloa, obviously, you played for them three times. Mm-hmm. Airdrie, obviously, were quite happy to take you back on for a second season.
Yeah,
you might have been heading off. Is that kind of a thing that you consciously do to try and leave on good terms?
Nah, I think it's just nice to be nice. I mean, unless you've had a massive fallout with a manager, there's only one manager where it was basically, even if I've got released, I'd be honest enough to say, right, thanks to you, shake their hand, because you never know what can happen in football. I mean, you never burn your bridges. And again, it's like any other term, it's like employment at the end of the day, regardless of where it is. So I think it's nice to be nice, and Scottish football is a bit like a goldfish bowl, so you know everybody talks, so the last thing you want is to be known as a bad egg or stuff like that. So but it is what it is.
So after your 2 years at Cowdenbeath, Jim calling again, did you have any hesitations about joining Peterhead?
No. Jim, Davey fought me, I think, a year before, and that was the year I was still in the Championship, and I was doing well at my work, so I thought, you know what, I was trying to stay down the road. And then when I was on holiday, and Davey fought me that year and just said, do you fancy it? And as soon as he fought me, I did that. It was quite hard playing the Championship, just kind of being underdog every week, especially being part-time in that league, and trying to work all week, and then, so every Saturday you're playing it like your max, maybe, you know what I mean? So I was starting to feel a wee bit, and then when Jim fought me and a chance to go back, and then I looked at the squad and they just went up to League One, and they couldn't speak higher enough of the place, and it's just a challenge, a wee change of scenery and a challenge that I fancied. And at first I was a wee bit hesitant about the travelling, but once you do it two or three times, it just becomes second nature. So that was it. Went up, trained at Banks CD, met the boys, and then the rest is history.
Did Jim have to try and sell Peter Heat to you, or was the fact that you could work with him again one of the key aspects to joining?
I played with Jim up until that point for maybe about 3 or 4 years. I enjoyed it. He kind of lets me play, knows my game. So I thought, if obviously he knows I could do a job, or just again, a leap of faith, said, yep, come up, sign that day, and then I think we had a decent first year. And you only have to look at like one paper at some of the boys out here, Rory McAllister, and then get more experienced players like Graham Smith and Goal, Ryan McCann. So it's all boys that I played against with. So you only need to look at the squad of boys to think, if they're up there and they're doing well and winning the leagues, then obviously they're doing something right.
6 years, as we said, you've been there now. It's quite something to have that kind of longevity at a club. Modern day, and you said yourself, I think earlier on, you said you've been there 2 years at maximum at a club. So what is it, Peterhead, then it makes you kind of stick around? Is it purely because Jim's a manager, or is there other aspects?
It's always been a good change, you know. It's always been a good bunch of boys, and they look after you. I mean, the year we get relegated, I fully expected to get my P45. But obviously, like with Jim knowing me as a person, what I can do as a player and stuff like that, and a wee bit of belief in me, gave me another year. So I was grateful for that. And you only had to speak to directors, and like you felt as if you were part of the club, if you know what I mean. And again, they kind of do enough for you. If you've got any issues, any problems, pick up the phone. Even the travelling, they always put on transport for you, so you're never out of pocket, even if you had to drive up yourself. Friday nights, the boys could go up and stay in a hotel. So you could tell that it was like a well-run club. It was a very professional. And even more the boys that they've had, as again I said, it's always been like a good change in them. And I can't speak high enough. I've been there 6 years, and if there's another year, there is. If there's no, there's no. Then I can always say I've enjoyed my time at Peterhead.
You've been quoted as saying that you'll play there for as long as they want you. Realistically, how long do you think you can play?
Don't know. Always a piece of string. Sorry, Wins, that's what I'm saying. I've been great runs in that. I feel quite good. But again, going out and running your 5Ks and stuff and doing what you're doing is slightly different from somebody running at you or getting on doing a football pitch. I don't know, I don't even know where the lay of the land is going to be regarding. I mean, I don't even know there's going to be a league next year. We're talking about mothballing it, so unless you've got it in black and white, or like, say, for instance, the club know specifically what's going to happen, then that's a decision for the manager to make, or that's a decision for, again, whether it's finances or whether it's. Again, I'm not a mind reader, so I can only just do what I'm doing now, try and keep myself fit. And if it isn't Peterhead, it might be a club down the road. And if it's something I don't fancy, then I've had a decent career.
Have you got plans for after football, Jamie? Have you decided what you want to do as well, or do you want to stay involved in football?
I would like to stay involved in some capacity, but I'm not getting my badges. It's something I've been thinking about, but I realistically look at how hard it is, and the amount of people that have actually got their coaching badges and played at a much higher level than me, it's tough. But I mean, like you see, Si's got his B license come in, he's done a bit of coaching at the club now, and it's really good. So maybe if you had a wee opportunity to get it, would be easier, but it's at the minute, I'm not quite sure what football holds for me.
Do you think that the change of positions as your career's gone on has helped that longevity slightly? Because if you're playing still further up the park, you maybe wouldn't have been playing as much now.
Don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe no. It's just the game. The game is, even for even from when I was 25, 26, the game was a lot quicker than when it was then. You kind of wanted more experienced players, maybe dropping down leagues, as opposed to now you've got a lot of boys that are younger, like young, fit, they can run about for 90 minutes, maybe not got as much ability, but the league, the games have got a wee bit quicker, I feel. But even playing against Falkirk, playing in Madbury Park, you still don't feel as if boys are fitter boys, so it's up to whatever manager sees, the manager feels. You might want to go in a completely different direction next year. I don't know. Nobody knows. So, but as far as I'm concerned, I still enjoy playing the Saturday. This lockdown's probably made me realise how much I love a Saturday afternoon going and playing a football game. Whether that's in League One, League Two, or in League Amateurs with my mates, I don't know. But I know I will kick a ball next year, just wherever it is, I don't know.
Has it made you more appreciative of, as you said, the football, this lockdown?
Oh, it has. I mean, massively, with the football starting back and sitting watching the Premiership, as much as some of the games may be a bit flat and stuff, but just to get the strip back on and get amongst all the boys, and I mean, that's half the thing, the carry on and some of the stories you hear. That's kind of one of the things you miss most. You can have a laugh with your mates and stuff like that, but it's not the same. It's just like a bunch of teenagers getting stuck together, talking shite for, well, not I mean, for 2 hours on the bus. And that's what people don't, even at Peterhead, people don't realise. On a Saturday night, when you're on the bus after a game, you're on the bus for nearly 3 hours. You're with the boys all weekend, and then, again, a lot of the boys have maybe not got that camaraderie, so to speak, at the minute. And, I don't know, mental illness is a big thing, you know, and I know a lot of people maybe have been struggling over this lockdown, so even if the least can try and get their finger out, I mean, and Hearts can stop grating so much, and we can get some structure. As soon as that happens, and there's a lot more clarity about the situation, boards can start discussing finances, and in turn, it gives the manager budgets to start preparing for next year. Not just the manager, because the manager's, if you're part of his plans and you sign, if you're not part of his plans, then it gives you the opportunity to then try and fix yourself up. I mean, for a lot of folk, obviously, part-time football isn't the main source income. It's just an extra, you know what I mean? But it lets boys try and get something to kind of work around their day jobs. Because essentially, when you do that, you're signing your life for the year, if you know what I mean. You're signing for Peter Edge, you're kind of getting up a lot of your weekend. So, again, I'm just waffling on, but we'll see what happens.
You as a player, do you get frustrated by what goes on or what you read in the press and about, as you said, Hearts are now going to court, and it just slows up everything for you as a player. Does that get on your wick slightly?
It frustrates me, but I mean, again, I say it's not my main source of income to put food on the table for my kids, so in that aspect I'm not under pressure for that, but there will be boys that it is, so you kind of feel for them. But again, Hearts of, well, where you want to put it, they can do every route possible to try and stay in the league, and it's a legal battle, but now they've used that, even though I can say this to you, which, you know, it doesn't matter, sacking a manager because they're a Premier League club, and then they're back in the club, and then they've used his salary to now sign another manager for a team that's just been promoted, which just stinks. The whole thing stinks, and it's not just affecting SPL and the Championship, it's got a domino effect for all the other clubs. I know the boy, James Anderson's put a kind of stimulus package for all the other teams, so in the grand scale of things, it's not a lot of money in terms of budgets for the year, but at least short term, maybe for the next month or two, it can help clubs out until the leagues eventually start back. But again, the main source of income for our clubs is gate money, food at the games, hospitality, and that takes you back to, I don't see why that can't happen at all level. Considering pubs and restaurants are opening back up next couple of weeks, so hopefully that's good news, and in turn that can just, everything gets sorted for the clubs to push forward and start the new season.
You're a kind of senior player now. We've kind of spoke a few times this season about how young the defence is. Yourself and Barry Boyle are probably the senior guys at that the back. Do you kind of find you need to put an arm around some of the players sometimes, or do you kind of leave that to the manager?
No, I think you try and speak to them as much as you can through the game. And it's like anything else, they can take it on board or they can tell you to fuck off. But it is difficult sometimes. You kind of need to know the person, how they react. Sometimes there's no point in like getting on to them because their heads will just, they'll just bury their heads in the sand and just think everybody's turning a go. Even when you're being constructive, you try and just kind of say, Jake, like, whatever, come on, just, it's a mistake, go on with it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've made a couple of mistakes, but you just think, fucking, you just, fuck's sake, Ted, that was, you know what I mean, it's just out of character, and you're like, what you think, it's just a moment of madness. So, you know yourself, you try and speak to the boys, but to be fair, in our team, we have Nsai in there, he kind of does most of the talking for most people. So he does, as you obviously just spoke. Aye, so there's always a joke in there somewhere, do you know what I mean? But to be fair, when the game starts, even like Scott Brown and that, you've got winners in there, so they try and drive the team on. And at the back, we, speaking to Greg as well, between the five is whether we're playing a back four. Greg, we do our best to keep clean sheets, and sometimes, again, some of the sloppy goals we're losing in the situation that we're in, sometimes you try and open people's backs too much, because the last thing you need is, like, somebody going into their shell, and you think, fucking hell, we feel like we're a man doing here. But it is, you try your best, but sometimes, as you say, it's like what half a duck's back to some people, and some people going into their shell, so you kind of need to know the person, and try and talk them, if they're having a shady 5 minutes, just try and talk them through it. And if they're having, like, trying to overcover and stuff like that, you just read the game.
Do you think that's something that's changed in the game in the last 20 years, or maybe 20 years ago, you could have shouted at a player and just got on with it, but more nowadays, they seem to be more cautious with things that have been said?
Well, I don't know what to speak about that too much, to be honest with you. I mean, years ago, you could maybe stitch woke up and a bit of laugh and a bit of banter, and you can't, it's changed days now. You probably know that yourself if you're going and watching Peter Head play the Highland League game. I don't know, the Highland League days, the way the boys speak to each other, and then even getting into the leagues anyway, the last 6 years, you can't get away with it. Even carry on and stuff, you can't say certain things anymore, and especially about everything that's happened this year regarding, again, something I don't like any. But it is hard to, but everybody needs to move forward to society, and what's acceptable now. You just don't want to speak to people the way that you when they want somebody to speak to you. But in the heat of the moment, when he's maybe lost a sloppy goal, and you're like last minute goal, and you just, it's just frustration. If you want to win, do you know what I mean? It's like you give up a lot of your time, and there's something that got to happen, and then you're sitting in a car for 2.5 hours back in the road to Glasgow, and it's just sitting playing on your mind. Again, that is, it's, I don't know what I say too much about it.
You mentioned Greg there briefly. Were you surprised that he's decided to move on?
Greg is probably one of the best keepers in out with the SPL, even the Championship. I'd say he's a great shot stopper. The amount of penalties he saved is ridiculous. Greg's always played good teams for as long as I can remember in the lower leagues. So As for a club like Peterhead, it probably is disappointing because you'll not find much better. And since I've been at Peterhead, they've been blessed with two goalkeepers who have played at a ridiculous level, and Graham Smith and Big Greg. So it'll be a loss, definitely. So it'll be obviously up to the manager now to try and replace like for like, which will be tough. But knowing the gaffer's contacts in Scottish football, with something up his sleeve, if that is the case.
So, briefly then, how would you sum up your time at Peterhead?
I've enjoyed it, apart from one bad year, where we just seemed to struggle. That was the year we got relegated. I've really enjoyed it. I've met a lot of good people. The club's centred on great fans. You see them all the time, even hospitality. It's the same faces you've seen. I don't think there'll be many supporters buses that actually pick up the players going to away games in Scottish football either. I don't know. Boys getting the fans bus and talk to the fans, and you feel as if you know a lot of them personally. And again, everybody's got time for everybody up there. And it's just a great feeling about the place.
Do you feel it's your club? Do you feel you're a part of the club now?
Oh, I've been there 6 years. You know everybody in first name terms. And I suppose all good things come to an end at some point, but you've got relationships with people, even Big Jock. Do you know what I mean? The kit man. You still can't make out a word they say, mind you, but the office staff, the board staff, you get it, relationships with people, and again, there's not got a bad word to say about anybody, but it's just a great wee place.
Good. Right, I'm going to end with some quick fire questions, if you don't mind. What's your career highlight been?
Winning leagues, regardless of what level it is, obviously with Morton and Peterhead. Probably one of the biggest ones also is the Petrol Pack, getting to the final, playing in front of so many people. That's probably the main three.
What's your favourite TV show that you're currently watching? If you get the chance.
My favourite one recently, probably, I've been enjoying Billions at the moment, so I'm watching that.
Okay, what's your best goal you've scored?
Probably a free kick for East Stirling against Elgin a few years ago. Or maybe the one I scored at Stenhouse when we were up at... against Stenhouse when we were up at Peterhead, Gale Force wind behind my back for about 40, and it's just in the top corner, something like that. Probably one of them.
That's just a light breeze for Peterhead, though, isn't it?
Oh, aye. You know what it's like. that's in the summer.
Aye.
The amount of times you play, like every time I play a player, -1, it's wind batting against my face, and I'm like that. We're used to it. So that's the thing. You'd normally be trying to defend the first half and try and win the second half. So.
Which coach or manager had the biggest influence in your career?
Probably Jan. I played for him most of my career. He's probably fed up with me by now, but aye. It's probably the gaffer.
The current squad that's there then, or the squad that was there last season, who would you least likely to be stuck on a desert island with?
That's a good question. Probably Aidan.
Why?
Because I'd probably wake up with the eyebrows. Stitch me up.
But what joke is he?
He's not very clever.
Okay. Who's your idol as a youngster growing up?
Mravčík. Celtic. Everybody says Larson, but for me it was Lobo.
Aye. What kind of music are you into at the moment?
Talk sport. I listen to anything. Honestly, Radio 1, Heart. Smooth, doesn't bother me, just listen to anything.
And the last one I've got for you is, if you weren't a football player, what other sport do you think you'd have been involved in?
Oh, golf. Anyway, I like my golf.
What's your handicap?
4.
That's not bad. Okay. Pretty good.
So you when I was 16, I get told you choose golf or you choose football, so... I was this moment of time I chose football. She remember stuck at the golf.
So you getting much time in the course at the moment?
I've been up 3 times a week since the course has opened. But now I've been back to work this week, so that's been knocked in the head a wee bit.
Oh, well, at least your Saturdays are still free at the minute, eh?
That's it, I know. I think I'm getting ready to get kicked out the way things are going.
Right, Jamie, thanks very much for coming on.
You're welcome, mate.
Cheers, thank you.
That was Jamie Stevenson, who Martin and I had the pleasure of talking to earlier. A big thank you to Jamie for joining us. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Marco Chipper, and of course you guys for listening. That's it for this episode. Thanks again, and we'll see you all again very soon.